Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hi, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And tonight, we're so excited. We're going to be starting a brand new book in the Cafe Book Club, and it's Codependent No More by Melody Beattie. And what's really great about this book is it's actually celebrating its 25th anniversary of just being on the planet and just making so many healing changes for the world. We can't even start by, you know, just the significance of how Melody, just through her own growth and deciding to go ahead and write this book, and now she's even got a new workbook out with everything, and that it's just been such a dynamic thing. And right off the bat, too, I want to get my co-host, Miss Amy Frost. How are you doing tonight?
I am feeling very codependent.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, it's a good thing we're doing this book again. So, how long ago was it that you actually read Codependent Memory?
You know, I don't even remember. It was so long ago that I can't even remember when it was.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, and I read it back, I think, in 2006. So it's been 10 years. It's been about 10 years since I walked through the pages. So I'm really excited because when I've been looking for our next book, and, you know, there are other ones that we were looking at, and this one really just kept tugging at my heart that it was time to, you know, to look at it. And I didn't even realize it was the 25th anniversary of Melody's book. So I'm really grateful and just happy to be really looking at this from a new stuff. And, boy, if anybody's ever done 12-step, you know, there's so many stigmas that go with that nowadays when it comes to stuff like that. But really, one thing that – well, Amy, why don't you talk about, you know, your insights on when you started reading it again, what you found?
Oh, for me, there's a lot of things that's going to be coming out as we go through it. I just want to throw out, definitely, you can go to transformation-cafe.com and get your book and workbook and do it right along with us, whether you do it live or you do it, you know, later. I'm actually giving as gifts the book and workbook to several people so they can join us. So I'm pretty excited about that. And,
yeah, that's awesome.
And it's interesting looking at the book and the workbook. They're not mirrors of each other, so that's going to be really interesting. It should keep us on our toes because going through it, it almost takes you to a different level and makes you look at things differently. Not what I'm used to in a traditional workbook that goes with a book. So I think we're going to be learning a lot in lots of different ways than we had expected. And I think one thing that I find really fascinating about this 25th anniversary edition is she has the current forward, but she also has the forwards from the past. And I think it's really interesting to look at her perspective from when she first issued it to 5 years later to currently. And then when she first did this book, the word codependent did not exist. And she had started out to work with people who had addictions. And she was very disappointed when she discovered she had to work with the family members, the spouses and the family members. And she was very disappointed because nobody knew what to do with them. And that's where all this birthed out of.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really fascinating to get to the history of Codependent No More because, you know, Melody had gone through just all kinds of really horrible things when she was younger. And, boy, she started drinking to the point where she'd black out when she was about 12 or 13 years old. So, you know, it really comes from just a different perspective of, you know, she's been the person who was the addict, and then she, after she got herself sober, she, you know, she was drawn to people who were being addicts for a while. So it really helped to come from a thing of, like, you know, she knows what she's talking about. She's coming from a very real place, and I think that really helps people to feel that they're being heard, and they're really, it's like she really understands what I'm going through. And one thing along that, too, is just the practicing of everything that goes on. It really helps people to realize that, you know, one thing that I think that's really good about the workbook that comes out, it talks about, you know, that when it comes to the, a lot of what we're talking about is caretaking ourselves and self-care.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's something that's interesting to come from all this. But counselors, nurses, clergy, people caring from even ill family members all are having to deal with being codependent on certain levels because there's challenges with, you know, losing yourself when you're really wanting to be out there for somebody else. So a part of this is like, where do I end and where does somebody begin? And I think that's something that this book can really help people to be look at. And I just want to put a disclaimer on this too, that like if anything comes up for people and they're finding that, you know, they're finding value with the book, but I always want to encourage people to actually, you know, look for codependent, you know, Al-Anon, and there's other different support groups that are out there. And, you know, to also feel like, you know, you might want to get a counselor and get some professional help if something comes up for you and you're not sure if you'll be able to handle that. So there's all kinds of levels to being able to get care, you know, for yourself and then being able to have people coming out to help you to figure some things out. So I just want to put that out there on the show as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant because we're not here to be counselors. We're just here to walk through this process ourselves and help people join us. And I know for myself personally, I work with several people who are psychologists, counselors, coaches, and I have set appointments on an ongoing basis as prevention, not necessarily to work anything, but just to keep sharp. And especially the kind of work I do in the world, it's dealing with a lot of people having a lot of issues that I can be taken down without even realizing it if I'm not doing that prevention work. And something I want to make sure we're really clear about, this isn't just about people who have family members or friends that they're supporting that are alcoholics or have issues with drugs. It, like you were saying, it can be you're supporting somebody who's ill. And I think all of us are caretaking of others in one way or another. If you're a leader in an organization, you're caretaking of your employees. It's part of what you do. But it's how do I do that in a way that's healthy for my business, healthy for myself, and healthy for the people that I'm dealing with. And something that I'm going to be playing with as we go through this is something that has occurred to me, and I'm blowing my own mind and a few other people that I'm having this conversation with, is that what if there is a codependence with that unhealed part of myself? What if that ego or wounded self or shadow self, however you want to identify that, I think it's different at different times, but I think there is that, who am I if I am not that wounded person? And as that wounded person, you would have certain actions that you would do, certain ways you look at things and feel about things, and certain people in your life that may or may not be here once we're done with this process.
Yeah, and that's something that a lot of people wouldn't even have considered of, like, afraid to do the work or not willing to go deep into the work because it's like, who am I going to be on the other side, you know?
Yep.
But the good news is you're that much more healthy and happy and just getting a really deeper sense of yourself. Well, it's like, you know, you're like, how can that be? Well, it's just like the one thing that I love about Beatty, too, is she really talks about, you know, all this is stuff with baby steps. And we're going to be going through actually the 12 steps that they talk about with this program of being codependent. And it's been modified from the regular 12 steps because it really, you know, helps you to walk through, you know, the fact that, you know, a codependent person may be doing things that aren't necessarily healthy for themselves or the other person just because they don't know any better. I mean, one thing that I really love that came through the workbook, you know, she talks about that, about, you know, there are different things that we're going to talk about where it comes with these toxic behaviors that you have, you know, that don't serve you or anybody else. And being able to catch yourself in that or being around other people that, you know, that really can help you. You know, they're actually, she calls them survival behaviors. And it's when you don't know what to do. You don't know anything else to do. You kind of go from a knee-jerk reaction of something you might have learned from your family or just other people when it came to something that was just like, you know, it just basically, you know, you almost feel like a deer in headlights when something happens like, this isn't really happening to me. How am I able to cope and be able to move forward? So some of this is being able to be able to walk through that. So where do you want to start, Amy? You want to go through the 12 steps or how else do you want to do for, you know, this is just, we're wanting this to be an introduction of when we actually get into the different chapters next week. So how would you like to go through some of this?
Well, I think I want to help people get prepared for that. We're going to be talking about what is codependency and looking at it from many perspectives. We're going to invite you to look at the book and the workbook and find a way that works for you. And we're going to have a schedule of how we're going. So next week we'll be doing part one, which is chapters 1 through 4. We'll really talk about what codependency is. And I would have you look at lesson one in the workbook. And something that I just want to toss out, that is, like, there is no 1 + 1 = 2 with this. And there isn't, this is black, this is white. In the workbook on page 11, at the very top, she talks about people became confused about codependency. Two people can do the same behavior, but in one person the behavior is codependent, and in the other person it's a healthy choice. So what am I trying to say here? It's about conscious choice. It's about conscious action, and only you really know what that's from. You know, are you acting from guilt or obligation? Or are you acting from a place where you're being healthy? Only you're going to know that, and you can con other people. You can even con yourself. But we want to give you a space where you can really explore this, a safe space, where you can really take the next step in that codependent behavior, which we all have in one way or another, and be able to keep an eye on it and support you in making conscious choices.
Yeah, and one thing that Melody is really good at is she puts out some really open-ended questions. And I really want to go back to, like, Mark Nepo. I did an interview with him back around TC 300 when we had our anniversary show. And he just talked about how questions are windows to the soul. You're really helping us to just, you know, come from that place of being curious instead of, you know, feeling like I have to have this automatic answer. Maybe sit with something and really kind of be with that and see what kind of comes up for yourself, and just being loving and being able to go through the process of this. And, you know, what you might feel is the answer right now, you know, a month from now, you might be coming from a totally different perspective. So it's always kind of coming from beginner's mind and allowing yourself to just be in a place of wonder about things. And just, you know, I think a great exercise, too, is, for me sometimes, is to look at that and just say, you know, I just don't know, what would that be? And allowing yourself to even maybe have a trusted friend that you might be able to talk about that. Well, you can explore those kinds of questions for yourself and maybe another person. So the fact that we're, you know, Amy's going to have these other people coming on. I've got a couple other people that are interested in it as well. It's really starting a community conversation about it, too. So it can kind of broaden our perspectives on that and have a lot of people's different, points of view with it. I think it's going to be exciting.
And I don't want us to get caught up in the 12 steps. I think the 12-step programs are wonderful, and there's a lot of good stuff in it, but you don't have to totally buy into the 12 steps in order to have codependent no more work for you.
Yeah, I think that's an important part, too, for people to realize that.
We're not trying to create a cult here or anything else. You know, some really great things to think about. And I just want to talk about the workbook, which I think lesson one is a good place to kind of get yourself ready to be in it, not that you have to, but here on page 7, she talks about most people with codependency issues feel genuinely unlovable. They attach themselves to people by caretaking, hoping to become indispensable. It's like, whoa. I know that I certainly, that being the oldest of 5 girls and being the big sister, that's been something that I've found myself doing, being a leader in organizations, being careful about not taking so much care of them that they can't live without me, that I'm not really doing them a service.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think part of it, too, a part of it's even gender, you know, when it comes to, the way that a man would caretake as opposed to a woman would caretake, and just the perspectives of society of, you know, what women are, you know, being more caretakers, you know, that kind of thing. And going back to those different careers that are just kind of geared to that whole thing of being caretakers. So it's really interesting just all the different directions we can go with this and see how, you know, with just a little bit of guidance, a little bit of being able to just do some self-reflection, how this can really be helping you to be able to be looking at something and instead of being, you know, codependent, interdependent, and having that be something that you can really be appreciating relationship as opposed to having something that could be, you know, not necessarily a service for either, you know, person within the relationship.
Well, and I think some great outcomes could be self-love, self-acceptance, mm-hmm. and really feeling valued for who you are, not what you do. Because really this whole thing about caretaking is really about doing, not being. So we're back to where we've been many places with a lot of work that we've done. It's like, how do I move myself into a place of loving myself and being, not being, not doing all the time to be loved? And then one other point that I want to make here, and again on page 7 of the workbook, and why would you want to do this? And she says, people enmeshed with addicts, alcoholics, or any kind of dysfunctional family system found that they what they've been looking for. Even if they didn't know what they were looking for, they found validation.
Mm-hmm. I thought, and one thing when we were contemplating doing the show, I thought it would be very an interesting perspective to be doing it, you know, with the holiday season and having just all the different codependent behaviors and relationships and things like that, and just the different things that happen within the holidays, and being able to have that as a dynamic of being able to kind of just play in that and see how it is for us when it comes to expectations of people and things that can be going on with just for the season. So I'm interested to see how that's all going to be a part of our conversation as well.
So I don't want to get too much into the 12th step, but what for you is the most significant about the 12 steps, and did you want to walk through them?
Yeah, I think we should walk through them because it really
can
kind of give people a taste if they've never even, you know, looked at it. And if they have, you know, like I said, I think beginner's mind is such a good place to be able to come from this. So why don't we take turns, and I'll go ahead and read the first one. We admit we were powerless over others, that our lives had become unmanageable. And I know for me personally, I've had situations in my life where I didn't know, you know, I'd had situations that really pushed me to doing, you know, like protecting or supervising people in places when, you know, they really could have taken care of themselves. And I really literally had to stop myself and just say, oh, gee, this is not who I want to be right now. And I think the healthy thing is being able to catch yourself. But yet until you can go through the steps and being able to look at that, sometimes it's something you're not even realizing you're doing it because it's something you could have, you know, saw that behavior with your parents or, you know, some other boss or something in the past. And you just kind of took on that behavior, not even realizing it was something that you wanted to be, but it just, you got caught up in it without even realizing it was happening.
And I'm reading, I hope you're reading from the same place, the 12 Steps of Codependence Anonymous on page
14. Yeah, so number 14.
So number 2 is came to believe that a greater power than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And for me, that's allowing grace.
And number 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. And boy, you know, when you've had different kinds of situations come up, and you catch yourself. I know for me personally, my depth and understanding of spirit has just expanded beyond anything I could have ever imagined. When, you know, because like I said, it's been about 10 years since I've really originally gone through the original stuff. So it's to me it's very comforting and yet very supportive to know that it's not much deeper than I ever thought it was. And that's one thing that I really loved about it as well.
And number 4 is make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And I think part of that is looking at what are those motivators that cause us to be insane caregivers.
Number 5, admitted to God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. There's such a wonderful clarity when you can really speak from your heart to someone who's just willing just to listen to you without judgment and just being able to be a someone who's just willing to listen. I think that's one of the good things, great things about the, you know, coming through a program like this is you really learn how to be a good listener. And I think that's one of the best gifts that you really can be for another person sometimes. It's like, I don't have to give you advice. I just basically have to be here just to, you know, seek to understand and to listen to you. Because, you know, we've talked about this on the show before about, you know, everybody wants to be known and heard. And this is something that the 12th step is very much wanting to support, and especially with codependency, of making sure that that's one of the reasons why behaviors get out of hand, because it feels like no one understands what I'm going through. And yet there are many that do. It's just a matter of being able to be connecting to people that can support you.
Number 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character.
Number 7, humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings.
And again, who am I without that? I don't know. We'll find out if you have the courage to do it. Number eight, make
exactly.
a list of all persons we have harmed and become willing to make amends to all of them.
And I think you need to put yourself on that list.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, we just, like, realize, like, you know, so, you know, usually you're going to be the last one on the list, you know, being able to be in a loving place with yourself and others. So, number nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or another. And, again, you know, being able to go to someone and just be in a place of just being in your truth and seeking to be coming from a place of grace and kindness and letting them know where you are now, realizing your wrongs or how your perspective had been, you know, altered from what really needs to be happening now. I think that's such a great place to come from. And again, sometimes people will be able to be in a place where they can be receptive to you, and other places they can't. And it's, you know, part of that, I think, is learning the discernment of that as well is a real healthy place when it comes to just your self-care and boundaries, you know, along with the program.
Well, and it's about not making it about you. You know, if they
right.
don't want you to do this, then it's you need to not do it and
right.
don't make it about you.
Mm-hmm.
Which can be really challenging because, you know, if you're, you know, really committed to making things happen,
mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, not doing something is the perfect right action. So we'll see how that goes. Number 10, continued to make personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it.
Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that through. And I think for me, too, along with prayer and meditation, journaling is something that's really helped me to just have a sense of clarity about that. And so just some of the insights that you can get for yourself. And that's one thing with the workbook that Melody really asked you to go ahead and get some of a notebook or journal for places when you can be reflective about, you know, where you are and what's happening with things. And a lot of times putting it down on paper can really help you to have just a different perspective of that instead of, you know, like keeping it to yourself. It really helps to, you know, jot it down and be able to look at it.
Well, and research shows that if you are, the act of writing is very healing. So even if you're,
oh, yeah.
you know, just writing, whether you ever look at it or again or not, doesn't really matter. But there is just the act of writing. Can
mm-hmm.
cause healing. And then last but not least, number 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message to other codependents and to practice these principles in our affairs.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a practice, a daily practice, an hourly practice, a choice practice.
Yeah, a choice practice. I think that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, because I've been really thinking about that too. We did a show not that long ago on brief recovery. And boy, for me, that was just such an insight about when you're going through just the different levels of change. To me, it's almost change recovery, having it where you've got these different things in your life that go through. I think it's, you know, helping you to be able to place a place of nurturing, acceptance, and just allowing yourself to go through the process of different emotions as they come up and just seeking to be loving with yourself and others when you have that stuff coming up. And like Amy said, you know, coming from grace for yourself and others.
So with this, between now and next week, I think it's about really allowing yourself to prepare and having the courage and support you need to do this work. So maybe invite a friend to join you. Maybe just be finding, maybe have a spa day or something, but getting ready, you know, to do this work. And I don't know that we want to read through all of them, but in the workbook, it has you ask yourself several questions really in getting prepared for that. So that's starting on page 18 through 20. But I'll just read the number one. I think that might be a good one. Just ask yourself these questions and then answer honestly, working with affirmations that follow, which are number two. To answer each question is an unreserved yes. Are you willing to feel uncomfortable at times when you grow and change? Are you willing to feel emotions, including pain and fear? Many therapists agree that if a behavior doesn't feel uncomfortable, and we don't feel fearful about doing it, it means we're not doing anything new. It's the same old thing. Are you willing to work the steps both ways by working them through at least once thoroughly and then learning to use them as daily tools? And are you willing to work hard on yourself, possibly for a long time, as long as it takes to recover fully or completely?
Yeah, one thing I love about Melody as she's talking about that is, you know, it is hard work, and it's the best work you can ever do, because you're basically coming from a place of nurturing yourself into just a different place. But, you know, I also like that she talks about, you know, this is not a one-size-fits-all program or solution for people. It's a place to basically give you things to think about, give you things to write about, and really see where you are with those now. And one thing that's great about this workbook, too, is she said she really encourages people to go back, you know, occasionally. And just because you go through the workbook once doesn't mean that, you know, you always could go back and see it from a different perspective. And I think that's really great advice as well, being able to look at these things and go through them. So step two on that is to read the affirmations, different ones, twice a day. So when you're reading them out loud, you know, we talked about Amy Cuddy had talked about, you know, when we read things out loud, it really changes the way our body can respond to things with presence. And I think that's something that goes right along with all these different things too. So she said to consider photocopying them or carry them with them. I think handwriting them for yourself is something that can be really powerful, you know, getting into the writing again, and how that it's something that can be very powerful to you. So some of the examples on that said, I'm okay with being uncomfortable and sometimes feeling emotional pain as part of this healing process. I'm committed to continuing my recovery despite how I feel and any uncomfortable emotions that come up. And just like they're talking about, you know, those uncomfortable things are actually things that I've been pushing down, and now I can be able to look at that as something as a way of helping me to move through things. And so any advice on that, Amy, when it comes to uncomfortable?
Oh, I've talked about this before and other things that we've talked about, but one of my mentors, the thing that always hits me, she always said to me, hold with attention and don't be too quick to make yourself, you know, not be in that space, because there's something in there you need to look at. And so I think it's learning to be, I don't know, it sounds crazy, be comfortable with being uncomfortable, but knowing that that's part, you know, chaos is what happens before you come to clarity. It's kind of the same thing. So it's, you know, we're reordering things. So know that that's part of the process. Know that it's like what comes to mind is, let's say, is learning to ride a bike. You didn't know how to do that. And so at first you had all these different things you had to remember. And then they say, you could pick it up again really easily because you have the muscle memory. But you didn't have that when you started. So this is the same thing. These processes are new to you, and they might feel clumsy, and they might be fits and starts, but you're gonna, you know, it'll get more comfortable. The uncomfortableness will be more comfortable. At least you'll know.
Yeah, another.
It's okay to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the other ones that I really liked is, I'm okay with taking as much time as I need to change any behaviors and replace them with healthy options that help me to love and take care of myself. I think that's a great one. So just want to encourage everybody to, like Amy was suggesting, go to the transformation-cafe.com, and you can go to our store and go ahead and buy the workbook and the regular 25th anniversary. And again, the different author's notes from just the new editions that she's had are very interesting to be able to look at that, and coming from just a little bit different perspective as she's been with it for 25 years. So really encourage you to, you know, take the time to look through those as well. So anything else, Ian?
Let's go to the high dive, get the support that you need, get your books, get a notebook, have a friend in the waiting, and if you need professional help, make sure that you get that. And we're all going to be okay. It's going to be a great ride.
Yeah, it's going to be a fabulous ride. And we really want to thank you in advance for all your questions and comments at the transformation-cafe.com. And, you know, we look forward to just growing and just really having these great insights as we go through the book. And with the holidays, I think it's just that much more of a special gift you can give to yourself coming into the new year. So we want to welcome you for joining us, as always, with our international audience. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.